Lucy Wren by Ada Radford. A grey, scholarly little person. She had no degree, but her testimonials were unusual. She would be an acquisition to any staff. Refined, cultivated, literary in her tastes, and above all, thoroughly conscientious and reliable. And so, although her health and her means had allowed her to do comparatively little in preparation, and although she was beginning later than some women, Lucy Wren found herself teaching in a large school with a salary of £95 a year and a prospect of a rise of £5 at the end of the year. She was very fortunate. She recognised the fact, although she did not give thanks for it quite as often as her friend Catherine Gray, with whom she lived. They sat one summer evening, exercise books for correction piled in front of them.
"Our life," said Catherine, "is so delightfully free. Think of being a governess in a family."
Yes, Lucy Wren had been saved from that.
"Imagine being one of those girls in an idle rich family with nothing to think about except dress and flirtations."
Her healthy-minded, brisk little comrade shuddered at the thought. Yes, she had been saved from that. She thought little of clothes, although the soft grey dress she wore made beautiful lines over her slight figure. And flirtations? All the satisfaction there is to be gained from having no flirtations was hers. And yet somehow she wished that Catherine would give her mind to her exercise books instead of sitting there thanking heaven that they were not as other women.
"I don't believe you would have lived long in a life of that kind," Catherine said, looking at her broad, quiet brow and long, sensitive hands. "It's impossible to imagine you without work and without a purpose. I confess there was a time when I liked a little of it. A little, you know."
Lucy Wren smiled and asked, "Of which? Of dress or of flirtation?"
"Both, I think."
And the blue and red pencil remained idly balanced in Catherine's fingers, and the picture of good sense grew pensive.
"I always feel that it has been knowing you that has made me look at things differently. After I knew you, things seemed almost vulgar, though before I had thought only fun. In fact, there are things I've never dared confess to you. They are nothing much, but I don't think you'd ever quite forgive or understand."
Lucy did not protest that she would, and so no confidence was given. "I shan't get through these books if you will talk," was what she said, and she opened an exercise book.
"That child's mind is a perfect chaos," she murmured as she wrote, "Very poor work," across the page at the bottom.
Catherine had an unusual desire to talk. She fidgeted and at last, finding Lucy absolutely unresponsive, she left the table and her unfinished work, and sitting in the horsehair easy chair, leant back, a volume of Browning in her hand. When at last Lucy looked up, Catherine spoke at once.
"It's a glorious love poem," she said. Her eyes shone and the schoolmistress had disappeared. "Shall I read it to you?"
To listen to a glorious love poem read by Catherine at any time required the same kind of composure as the dentist chair, but tonight had she proposed to let loose the specimens of animal life she kept in bottles and boxes all over the room, Lucy would have given the same involuntary shudder.